How good it is to see all you in church tonight. There you are, unsuspecting, innocent, thinking evil is far from you in this holy place. Think again. You see, for the next few minutes, I will be your accuser, your enemy, and the enemy of God. He looks a little surprised. Maybe you thought I'd be colored red, have a pointed ears and a pointed tail, and carry a pitchfork rather than the Bible. But if that were so, you'd know to be afraid and run from me. So I come to you disguised, a wolf in sheep's clothing, you might speak. You probably know me as Lucifer. But I've tricked you there too. Lucifer, the light bearer, I'm called. And how easy it is for me to make you think that I am. It is so easy for me to make you believe that you are doing what God wants. So easy for me to make things seem good and right. But you know better, don't you? Your poets have speculated where I might come from. But mostly, that's all it is, speculation. Your Bible, it even says very little about me. But if you do read it, if you read the very first chapter in your Bible, your creation story, you'll see that on the sixth day, God looked over all that he made and he said it was very good. And that actually includes me. He says that I am very good. But then, not much later, with no explanation whatsoever, I'm introduced as the serpent, tempting Adam and Eve more crafty than all the other animals and creatures that God has made. Ha! Those were the days. So, what happened that made me so crafty, you might wonder? So sneaky, so evil. Well, you'll have to go to the end of your Bible to find out, all the way back to Revelation. And you thought St. John's Revelation was all about the future, didn't you? It's so much more. It even tells you how I emerged from the beginning to become your worst nightmare. War arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. That would be me. And the dragon and his angels fought back gloriously, I might add. But he was defeated and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him. And so here I am, looking good, I might add, for the prehistoric snake that I am. Wouldn't you agree? But I and my cohorts haven't taken defeat lying down. We never give up. If we can't rule heaven, we'll do our best to rule here on earth, in your homes even. And I lost no time. I didn't skip a beat. My first conquest was Adam and Eve, pure and holy as they were, with hearts as moldable as the clay from which Adam was made from. And with a tempting bit of fruit, I made the short walk of them and moved on to their sons, Cain and Abel. Soon, one of them was dead, and the other was an outcast. I convinced even the descendants of Adam and Eve that they could attain divinity, which I sought by building a tower so high to reach the heavens. And such fun I had watching all their foolishness. Unfortunately, heaven put a stop to it, like they always do. I had a small victory, though, in the confusion of their languages. From that day on, in fact, all because of me, most of the nations can't even understand each other, providing very fertile ground, you might add, for the suspicion of war. Now, we haven't had the time to, or for me to go on, with all the list of my accomplishments. The great flood, the wars, the famines, the pestilence, the adulteries, the idolatries of all humankind. And you'll have to read about those on your own. And just think, you brought them all upon yourselves. By listening to me. Yes, indeed. You have done so. Mine is just one big glowing success story, if I might say so myself. With one little exception, that Jesus guy, he ruined everything. He always does. And the story of my conflict with the Son of God could begin almost anywhere. Maybe before the fall of Adam when I rebelled in heaven. Or maybe it was the incarnation, the birth of this Jesus to the Virgin Mary. I had almost had convinced Joseph, his father, to go ahead and divorce his wife, Mary, and leave the child and the mother. I almost did it, too. Then, of course, there's the story of my servant, Herod, and how he was called to set upon to murder all the little different children in Jesus' time. And he would have, too, if it wasn't for Joseph's silly little dream, warning him to escape into Egypt. So close I was. But as it always goes, it wasn't a complete loss for me. I managed to cause plenty of mothers to weep over their dead children. But this is your little Ash Wednesday. So I'll begin with my temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. My attack on Jesus in the desert began right after his baptism, immediately after the most holiest of God's moments. And there I was, right there, about to pounce. About the same time, my attacks begin on you. But I won't give away all my stories. Proclaimed as the Son of God at his baptism, straightway I tried to destroy Jesus' relationship with his Father, challenging every aspect of it. And of course, that's what I do to you too, from the moment you declared yourself to be a child of God. Immediately I began sowing my little seeds of doubt and throwing temptations across your path. And it is so easy. It makes me laugh how gullible you really are. And it works with you. It really does. But for some reason, I could never get Jesus to budge. From the Jordan River where he was baptized, Jesus journeyed deep into the Judean wilderness, armed with only the knowledge of his identity as the Son of God and the word of his Father, committed to his memory. And it was a land without comfort of water or shade or food or bed. And there were only the occasional desert plants or insects. There was no sound but the wind and his own breathing. And Jesus was totally alone. I couldn't have asked for a better canvas for me to paint on. How different this was from the paradise for your first parents found themselves in, which I was tempted to tempt them. You see, they had everything that they could possibly need, except one thing. The Father had denied them, fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But with a little encouragement from me, that fruit then from that tree was all that they could think of. And how dare God deny them this one simple little pleasure? They thought about it, and they ate up my lies about God. Surrounded by every possible blessing, they had to just have one bite of that forbidden fruit. Or so they thought. But I won't bore you with the details. You know the rest of the story, I'm sure. But now here's Jesus. In a place lacking everything, all the comforts, no food, no water, no friends, no helpers, just wilderness, hunger, thirst, and little old me, Satan. That's all there was out there. And I attacked him gleefully, like a shark smelling blood. Having reached the very limits of human survival, the point when most people have long since lost any resistance to my power, I tore into his identity with contempt and sarcasm. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Go ahead and eat. You're hungry. How could he resist? What a perfect temptation this was. If you are the Son of God, I sneered. I had him for sure. Or so I thought. He was starving, so how could he resist? If he refused, then I could say, can't do it, huh? Can't turn those stones into bread? Well, you certainly aren't the Son of God after all, are you? And if he did do it, it'd be the perfect thing. Then I would have won anyway, because I'd have caught him submitting to me and my temptation. It was a fail-proof system. But he didn't even look at the rocks. He didn't even lick his lips or drool or anything. He gave me an answer I never even anticipated. He simply said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Can you believe that? Who would have thought he would have said something like that? Since when did God's children actually read the Bible? Since when did God's children actually trust his word in times of temptation? Adam and Eve didn't. We all know that. The children of Israel didn't with Moses either. David sure didn't when he was tempted by Bathsheba there naked on the top of her roof. And you didn't either the last time that you were tempted by me. And you fell for it. If you had, you wouldn't have sinned, didn't you? Now, go back to this. I was taken back a little bit, you might guess. But I adjusted. I always do. I wouldn't let Jesus get me again with his scripture. Next time, I'd be ready. I'd use scripture against him. Ha ha ha! That's one of my oldest tricks. Jesus, satisfied with the bread of God's word, wouldn't fall for the same old trick again. So I took him to the top of the temple roof. Maybe you wonder if I were literally there, 100 feet off the ground, looking down at the stone pavement below. Doesn't really even matter. You get to see that temptation and sin, it just don't sound that good if it's not outward. Some of my best work is done when I can get inside your head. And that's just what I was doing with Jesus. So I thought. Doesn't really matter, because the real temptation for Jesus was when I said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. I say that it was a real temptation, because Jesus was a real human being, just like you. If he wasn't human, it wouldn't have been a temptation. But I also knew he was, or he claimed to be, the Son of God. And Jesus couldn't help but prove me wrong. I've always known that. But I needed to take him up with my dare. I needed him to submit to me and trivialize his relationship with the Father, both as a man and as what he calls himself, the Son of God. Both as a man, I needed to tempt him. And both as the Son of God, I needed to tempt him to jump. And then I could fool him, make a fool of him, and sidetrack him from his mission. How brilliant. Oh, how brilliant it was for me to use his scripture against him. By pulling on the word of God, out of context, I hoped to trick Jesus into proving to me, the devil no less, that he really couldn't even trust God. He could show me off by jumping off the temple, expecting the angels to come and catch him. And that is what those words promise, right? You believe them, don't you? They're from the Bible. It's just like bungee jumping off bridges, only you don't use a bungee cord. You just trust the angels to come and catch you. You believe in angels, don't you? Well, if you do, show me. Let me see it. Let me see what you believe in. And if not bungee jumping without a bungee cord, try prayer instead of cancer treatments. How well does that work for you? You do believe God can heal you, right? Or if God is really your co-pilot, why do you need a seatbelt when you're driving? Or if every child has his own angel, why not let your toddler go and play in the street? You do believe every child has an angel, don't you? Or are you just lying about your faith? Well, Jesus didn't fall for my twisted scripture either. He knew better. He replied with another verse. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Okay, so he won another round. Whoop-de-doo. But I was in this for the whole fight. And it was far from being over. I needed a new strategy. I knew Jesus had come to establish a kingdom. What could I do to prevent that from happening? I've had it. I'd give him a kingdom of his own. Better than that, I'd give him all the kingdoms of the world. After all, I controlled them. They were, in fact, mine to give. People love following me. So we climbed the mountain together, like Moses surveying the promised land. Come and see, Jesus, I said, sweeping my arm across the whole expanse of the world, from horizon to horizon. All the nations of the world in all their glory in an instant. And all of these I will give to you. All of you got to do is fall down and worship me. Easy. What a deal. What a deal that was. Jesus could avoid maybe the contempt of the Pharisees, the betrayal of Judas, the denial of Peter, the humiliation and the suffering of the trials of the night, the insults, the torture, and the death on the cross. He could make the whole ordeal. He could stop it all from happening, even before it started, by just listening to me. And how sweet a deal that was. All he had to do was bow down to me. It was simple. Just give a momentary acknowledgement of me as Lord. With no pain whatsoever, unimaginable wealth, power, and pleasure could all be his. Doesn't that sound good? Wealth, power, and pleasure could all be yours too. You look a little skeptical. But hey, you'd do it for far less. Because you have done it for far less. You've taken money under the table, didn't you? You've lived and lied to save a few bucks on your income taxes this year. You'd rather work and skip church so you can get a few bucks and buy a new car. You'd rather give up your purity for a moment of pleasure than be faithful to God. You'd lie, you'd curse God, you'd gossip, if all of it meant for you to fit in, didn't you? Admit it, my offer to Jesus was a pretty great offer. He'd get a lot more than you ever got, that's for sure. All he had to do was bow down. And my offer was irresistible. Unfortunately for me, again, Jesus did resist it. In fact, he flatly turned me down. He dismissed me like a mongrel dog on a porch. Be gone, Satan! You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. I lost the battle, but not the war. I'd be back soon. I always am, just as I'll be back to tempt you. Soon. But given this first little skirmish, I have to admit, my future doesn't look bright. You see, this battle with Jesus in the wilderness wasn't just mano y mano. It wasn't just me against Jesus. It was mano y mundo, me against the whole world and Jesus. You remember the story of David and Goliath, don't you? You thought Goliath was just a giant. But Goliath was me. And David wasn't just a shepherd boy fighting for himself. He was a type of that Jesus figure. And with one stone he brought down Goliath, and in so doing raised up salvation for the whole nation. And that's what Jesus did in this wilderness with me, when I took him on. Jesus fought against me not with a stone, but with his words, with the word. And I have to say, his word cut me down. And you may not know it, but in the wilderness trial, Jesus stood there between you and me. When Jesus resisted me and won, it wasn't just his own little victory, but it was your victory too. Day to day, you've lost many battles with me, And you'll lose a few more, I'm guessing that's for sure. But if you keep sticking with this, Jesus, I bet that I can't get even the best of you. All you gotta say is, be gone, Satan. And I have no choice but to listen and to leave. After the wilderness, the cross, the empty tomb, and your baptism, I don't have any power over you. But I'm hoping you forget that.